WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the tough days, the grind, the short week. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town. The Baltimore Ravens are 0-1. I am fatigued but not scarred by my efforts in Las Vegas. It was a business trip. This guy knows about that. Every once in a while, I'd see him. Every year, he came back in with a different team. One year, it's New Orleans and San Diego and the Falcons. One of my all-time favorite people in football and a guy who he's sitting on the sidelines and coming on shows like mine. And Mike Nolan, when I was sitting in Frederick, Maryland 3 weeks ago, having the 28th crab cake in 28 days in a row, and I looked beyond my beautiful wife over her shoulder and saw the television screen, and there's you and Woodson and Sandusky, and 15 minutes later, J.K. Dobbins is sprawled out on the turf, and I thought, man, if Nolan's doing Ravens television, I'm going to have him on here talk some football. How are you? How's life? How's it settled down? I mean, how's it feel to be like home September 15th during a year, huh?
Nestor, first of all, it's great to see you. Great to be on with you. But things are good for us. We're in Denver. My wife and I live in Denver. We're just enjoying some free time. We do a little segment with Sandusky with Jerry Sandusky on the radio prior to the Ravens games. We'll be doing that each week, I believe. It's referred to as Noise versus Truth. So it's kind of a neat little segment. We did it the other day. It lasts about 3.5 minutes long.
You were always better at truth than noise. You didn't like noise so much, did you? Is that because your old man raised you that way in football? The truth is will come out. Like, you never had a problem with truth.
I never had a problem with truth. No, but I do like to speak to there's a lot of noise out there because there's a lot of cover up going on a lot of times and a lot of finger pointing going on. So the noise is kind of fun to talk about because, it's neat to get down to why is there noise on a topic. Look, this week, as you well know, in Baltimore, there's all kinds of noise. It's, you know, bad call, bad this, you know, bad play. A lot of people point fingers, and so that's the noise. But there's the truth to everything. So it's anyway, that's what we're doing. Outside of that, just to join the games every Sunday and Monday for that matter.
Well, you know, my friends over at WBAL, I'm happy to promote that you're truthing and noising. And I won't ask you for the truth or the noise here, but the truth is they're 0-1. And I guess the noise would be, how do you beat the Kansas City Chiefs this week based on where this franchise is? Not the one that Eric dreamed up, not the one you drafted for, not the one with Bateman and the one with Dobbins and like all of that. I had to learn how to spell Latavius Murray on the fly the other night when they handed him the ball. Like, I mean, I'm sure these guys don't even know each other's names to some degree on the offense, but the defense was really the letdown for me because they had a lead with 30 seconds left and they got a long plane ride home. So this was a team loss, but very, very difficult week here, I think, for the whole organization right out of the gate, because 0-2, no bueno.
Yeah. You know, look, it's not at all what anybody expected. I don't think. I think within the building, they were thinking they were coming away from a win. I don't think they were going to, you know, beat up on the Raiders, but I think for sure they felt like they were going to win. And in my opinion, they still are the better football team. They just didn't, as you just kind of mentioned there a little bit, they just didn't get it done in the end, which they should have done. But look, they've suffered a lot of injuries. Everyone knows that. And nobody likes to use it as an excuse. But the reality is they have suffered some injuries. But the good thing about their football team is they do have depth, and so that depth needs to step up and play. You know, I'm not of that school of thought, you know, next man up, so to speak, unless the next man up's a good player. And in Baltimore's case, the next man up is a pretty good player. Now, I don't think they can afford it again. Now, running back is a little different story. They had too many next man up, and so they're that. But at corner, for example, I still think they've got strength. And a number of positions, I don't think, even though they've been injured, I don't think it's hurt them, you know, dramatically. So I think they can, you know, get it. But you already mentioned it. Kansas City game this week coming up is going to be a heck of a challenge. You know, obviously probably the best team in football. So well it goes. Although I do believe, you know, Ravens have them at home. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And so that's, you know, I think that'll play to their, I don't want to say advantage, but it's certainly not disadvantage because Kansas City has become a very tough place to play.
Well, it was an empty stadium last year. We finally got them here. They've beaten us a couple times out there. We finally got them here. The stadium was empty. It was an embarrassment. I mean, outclassed. And I think a lot of us expect this is an inferior version of the Ravens versus what we were last year given the injuries, given the circumstance on the offensive line, given what our eyes saw, literally, where 27 points wasn't enough for the defense. And even with 27 points, the offensive line was extremely leaky. I think the passing game still suspect. And from a defensive standpoint for you, on the backside, when you lose a guy like Peters, not just the player he is and what you're trying to do on the backside, he had become a real leader in that room as well with Marlon Humphrey. I think they miss his dog a little bit.
Yeah, that could be. I think that, you know, is it Anthony Averett.
Yeah.
They said, I always mess it up. But anyhow, you know, I think he's a very good player. Now, the thing that I believe they've lost, you may have already mentioned it, is from a leadership standpoint. But as important as that, there's ball disruption with that player. I mean, he takes the ball with him like a Humphrey does. Both those guys are guys that steal the ball from the opponent. And that has a lot to do with the victories that they've had and why I believe both those corners are so good. You know, Troy Aikman once said this to me. He was talking about throwing at different corners in the league, and he said the corners that I don't like to throw to are the guys like Deion at the time. He says, because if I throw a bad ball, Deion's going to take it to the house. He says, I throw completions all the time. I'm not worried about throwing an incomplete pass. So if you're a guy that's just going to bat it down, he said, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to throw my balls out there to Michael Irvin and Harper and the other guys. And so that's,
yeah, even if you catch it, you'll drop it.
But that's just it. But I think that's what you've got with Peters. You know, you got a guy, if you throw it out there and you throw a bad ball, it's going to go to the house. And the same thing with Humphrey on the other side. So I think that's the unique thing about those two corners and why, in my opinion, that might be the best tandem in the league. Now we're at Everett, naturally. We're not at where we were before, but, I still think it's a good group. And, you know, defensively, as you mentioned when we started the conversation, you know, I don't think they played up to what their expectations are at all. They gave up, you know, a good almost 500 yards, which is not customary for that defense. But again, they had the one turnover. They stopped them in the red zone. But outside of that, I was hoping for more, you know, takeaways and ball disruption and things like that. It seemed that they really never got into a groove, in my opinion. I thought when the game began, they played it pretty straight up with four-man rushes. That's really not like Wink. Usually it comes a little bit more, but they were also going a little bit no huddle. Maybe that threw them off a little bit. But then they settled down, and like we all know, in the fourth quarter, they should have won the game. So it was just the ending that kind of threw everything, you know, just threw anything out of whack as far as what we expected to come out of this game with, and that was a win.
Former head coach and defense coordinator and our pal here in Baltimore, Mike Nolan, joining us here to talk all things Ravens in the aftermath of a 33-27 loss to the Oakland. Sometimes I say the R word in regard to the Washington football team, too. So where you were once employed as well. The pass rush and getting after the quarterback. And you mentioned Wink scheming up blitzes. And talking to JT the Brick and some of my friends, I had Rob Woodson on last week talking some Raiders side. That Carr's game at this point in his career is getting them into good plays and trying to do that. That was an interesting matchup, and you brought up the yardage, the 500 yards, 327 yards in the second half. That's going to get you beat on the road in the league, I would think, and especially when you're not getting to the quarterback. Brian Billick was on earlier. He mentioned 620 yard or more plays for the Raiders offense in the passing game. That's just unacceptable. You're not going to win a lot like that.
No, you're not. And that was a little bit of a surprise. But you mentioned the pass rush. You know, the Ravens, although they get, you know, they pressure a lot and they disrupt the quarterback, I think it's the disruption that's so key. In other words, it's not really that I don't know that they've led the league in sacks. And sacks, in my opinion, as I think the Ravens even would tell you, they don't really lead to victory. But, you know, obviously it's a big part of trying to win a ball game because the quarterback's the guy you want to disrupt when they're throwing the ball. So sometimes that statistic of sacks, which they got three last night, I think that's what the Raiders got also, can be a little bit misleading. And I would say in this form, I think the Raiders got more pressure on the quarterback with only three sacks, whereas the Ravens got less. I don't think they threw him off the mark as much. You know, he was in the pocket, stayed in there, delivered, and they completed the ball. When they did pressure, it looked to me like last night when they did pressure, they didn't have the success that they typically would have. And that's just some of that's execution. Some of that might be timing of the call. There's a lot of things that play into that. But it did look like to me, though, when the players were alone, they had to cover guys a little bit longer than normal. There was a lot of deep routes going across the field that were completed that, you know, you need a little bit of time to kind of throw. And so, again, it wasn't the game that that they customarily play, or at least look like.
Well, then playing defense against Patrick Mahomes this week, that if you're going to watch Darren Waller get targeted 19 times and not very successfully in the beginning, but in the end, it didn't go so well. And then in the end, the ball goes over everybody's head to Zay Jones, who wasn't targeted very much at all during the game. But for you with Mahomes and stopping him and Kelce and all the things the Chiefs are trying to do, this feels like a real uphill battle for the Ravens and where they are right now. It's hard as a fan, as someone here talking about it all week, to have a whole lot of confidence in how it's going to go on Sunday night.
Look, this can be a big challenge. We all know that. Kansas City is loaded with offensive weapons. They do an outstanding job. They're a real aggressive. Andy Reid is a very aggressive play caller. He doesn't back down to anything. I mean, if adversity strikes, you don't see him change. He just keeps coming at you, you know, and they could be down late in games as they were the other day against Cleveland, and they come right back. They're two scores down or whatever. Might have been three at one time for all I know. But they're just one of those teams that's really hard to face. One of the things that makes it really hard is they have so many weapons on offense, not only a great quarterback, but they've got weapons at the receiver position. It's very hard in game planning against them from a defensive coordinator standpoint, because who do you take away? Do you put your emphasis on the tight end, on Kelce? Do you put it on Tyreek Hill? Where do you put it? You know, they got a number of players that can beat you. I think you can typically, as a defensive coordinator, semi-double two guys, but then that leaves somebody else alone. But with the corners that, you know, you could always match up in a game plan situation, Humphrey on somebody alone, their least best player per se with a Humphrey, and then try to double the other guys. There's a lot of different ways that they're going to have to kind of construct in order to win this ball game, I think, because just showing up with the, you know, you can't beat Kansas City just showing up with what you always do. You're going to have to surprise them somehow with something. Otherwise, in the end, I think you come up short. Now, Baltimore's got enough in their arsenal to you know, come up with some things. So it'll be interesting to see what Wink and the staff do in order to try and get a victory this week.
Mike Nolan joining us here, former defense coordinator and doing some Ravens broadcast as well. And I saw Femi with Jerry Sandusky out in Vegas the other night. All right, let's get to the offensive side of this. And I haven't talked to you at all about this, and I haven't really gotten your vibe through these preseason broadcasts, because Lamar was never on the field, right? The offense was never on the field. Now we've seen the car run. We've seen it run in an NFL game, certainly with the missing parts of the running backs and the wide receivers that aren't there, where the tight end that gets the contract drops the ball and the quarterback gets stripped. Lots of bad things happened, I think, offensively, but most of that to me is still based on these injuries and what they're trying to do with Tyson Williams and with Latavius Murray and bringing him in, Le'Veon Bell. I think it will get better, but as it is right now, as constructed, and what we saw on Monday night out in Las Vegas, I still think they're going to struggle to throw the ball. I don't think they really want to throw the ball. I think then they move to throw the ball and don't do it well. Running the ball's great when they do it and do it well. This offensive line can't pass protect either. So this may be the worst offense I've seen with Lamar over the last 3-4 years. And I'm wondering how this is going to go, because there's even more pressure on him than there's been, because I don't think he has the protection and I don't think he has the weapons.
Well, you're right. Look, the injury bug has hit the offense pretty hard. And as we all well know, look, when you're the number one rushing team and then you lose three running backs before the opener from the last, you know, I mean, they lost that from that last preseason game to the opener, a 2-week span, they lost their three go-to guys. And, you know, so that's tough on anybody, but especially when that is who you are and what you do. I think they can get back on track with it. I think what the biggest thing I believe it did the other day, aside from the fact you don't have the go-to, you know, Dobbins kind of player or Gus Edwards, meaning the best player, you had somebody else. Okay. That's the first thing happened. But the next thing that happened was, you know, that it's very difficult to run the zone read with new players. If you notice last night, they only did it a few times in the ball game. And one of the times they did it, they put the ball on the ground. And I would have to say, you know, that's a real stressful position for Roman to be in, Mark, the offensive coordinator, because, you know, he knows himself that handling of the ball when it comes to the zone read, it's a it's a very sensitive kind of a thing for running back to when to clamp down, you know, how the quarterback puts it in his belly. So I believe that's why they kind of stayed away from that. That's a big part of what they do. And they had to stay away from that part of their game. I think that the Raiders knew that a little bit, and they tried to defend against that prototypical style running game that the Ravens also do and do very well. The power running game worked extremely for them, well for them throughout the preseason. And but the Raiders, you know, did a, I'll say they did a halfway decent job. Look, the stats will show you they still ran for, I think, 200 and some yards on the Raiders. So it's not like they couldn't run the ball. They can still run the ball against anybody. I think when it gets right down to it, think about the whole game. They had the opportunities to win the game in the end. Had they done that, we'd have a whole different discussion going on. So you got to remember that a lot of this game was all about the Ravens winning the ball game until the very end, and that's when it fell apart. So even though they do have these things offensively and defensively, and we're specifically talking about the offense right now and the frustrations they have, they're still a team that's very capable of winning. Now, on top of what we're talking about, obviously we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, so it's not getting any easier by opponent. But I still think, and I do believe this, the Ravens are a very good football team. They'll be able to run the football because they know how to run the football. This week will be a huge challenge if they can pull this one off, which they do, you know, they can. They'll get back on track, but it's still very early.
You think Lamar can get better as a passer? I mean, 4 or 5 years into a career, I mean, dare I say, with Roethlisberger winning, Tom Brady's winning games at 40 years old, for me to say a 23, 24, 25-year-old guy can't get better, but I'm not sure, and I've said this for months, that they really want to throw the football. Even though they draft, they have wide receivers, how much do they really want to pass on any given week? 26 times, 30 times, tops? They don't really want to pass a lot.
Well, they shouldn't have to. I mean, if they throw the ball 25 times a game, I think that's all they really need to do to be a winner and to get into the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs. So they do have to throw the ball better than they're throwing it at the other day. What surprised me was in the preseason, I thought they did a pretty good job of throwing the ball. And in the last preseason game, I thought the accuracy was very good. I thought there were some really nice balls, you know, but again, different game, different players, you know, the opponent, that kind of stuff. But again, I thought there was some progress moving in the right direction. Look, if there's anything that Lamar needs to work on, it is his accuracy. It's his patience in the pocket, things like that. But as you've already mentioned, he was under some duress last night. So it's very hard for him to kind of settle his feet at times. As a matter of fact, I actually thought for a lot of the game, the Raiders were helping him play to his strength, and that was extend the play. So although you saw him move around a lot, believe me, that's not what you want as an opponent for Lamar to be doing. You're not trying to chase Lamar out of the pocket. You're trying to keep him in the pocket. So what the Raiders were doing for much of the game, which was serving Baltimore Ravens very well, was allowing him to extend plays. That's how he got, you know, one of the touchdown first passes down to Brown in the end zone. They ran up the field. They let him crease the B gap as a quarterback. He came out of the pocket. He flushed. He threw the touchdown pass. You know, that's not,
and he's going to do that every time. That's his play. Like I said, that's indefensible. When he gets out into space and you're a linebacker or safety, you stay with your guy or are you going to go to him? And I don't know how you coach it up, but when you're out there on the fly, it becomes a playground. There is no coaching it once that happens, right?
Yeah. You don't rush Lamar like you rush everyone else. You don't. The objective with Lamar is to keep him in the pocket. He is far more effective out of the pocket than in the pocket. And everyone knows that. And sometimes I get baffled by watching teams who are trying to sack him every play. You don't need to sack Lamar. You need to keep him in the pocket and hope to God he'll, you know, just let him move near. Because when he's out, he's a better player. So if he's lesser player in the pocket, keep him in the pocket. And then that's the area. Then there, you know, he can settle his feet. And then it gets down to him just becoming a more accurate passer from the pocket and things like that. But again, I didn't think that although everyone said, oh, look at the pass rush, they got him going out of the pocket. That's the last thing you want to do with Lamar. Look what he does when he's out of the pocket. He throws touchdown passes. When he's in the pocket, not as often. You know, the deep balls aren't near as effective in the pocket for Lamar as they are out of the pocket. So, and I'll say this, I think Lamar, like I said, I thought he made some progress in the preseason. I thought last night was not an indication of that. When he was flushed, I thought they actually played to his advantage. When he ran a couple times, the big thing for him, to me, the biggest thing was he's got to secure the football. And he didn't do that last night. You know, when he got on the move twice, he lost the ball twice. And you just got to, the ball, the game's about the ball. If there's any statistic that matters other than points, it's the ball. And you got to protect the ball just like you got to steal it on defense. So, look, I think he's an asset. Obviously, I should say use a better word, but he's dangerous to any defense with his style of play. And you don't want him to play the style that he played a lot of last night, and that's on the move. You actually want to keep him in the pocket, but he's got to be more careful with the ball. That's on him, not the defense. That's on him. And again, I really like the player, and he's exciting, and he's got wow plays all over the field. But you got to secure the ball. It's just, there's just no way around. And if he secures the ball, they got to win.
He is former defensive coordinator and head coach Mike Nolan. He was here in Baltimore for a number of years. Our Wise Conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. I'm going to be at Store 206 in Fullerton having crab cakes on Sunday before the game. Rob Santoni is going to be stopped by. We're going to be at Costas on Friday with Johnny O doing our Maryland Crab Cake Tour stop presented in part by the Maryland Lottery. That's 2 until 5 in Dundalk, and I'm going to have some crab. I had crab soup last week and crab cakes. I did 42 crab cakes in 30 days, Coach, last month, all over the state, in every county, and now we're doing the Friday crab cake tour. So my wife says she's crabbed out at this point. I'm Mahomes out, okay? I'm Brady'd out as well. But here comes Mahomes. Stopping him. I mean, you drafted a special quarterback in Alex Smith when you're out in San Francisco and seen him come and go. This is the generational guy. And they're the best team again. And here they come. Talk about him a little bit and the special assets he has, because this is sort of robo quarterback.
Yeah. He's an exciting player to watch. He's great for the NFL, as a matter of fact, too. We all know that, not only because he's a great player, but he just comes off as just a great young man. I mean, he's just a lot of fun to watch. So, and there's a lot of people rooting for him. But as a football player,
No worries.
There we go. As a football player, he's another guy that's very elusive as far as the pocket goes. Not like Lamar as far as he can take it to the house running it, but he stays alive all the time. He's got tremendous vision down the field. I mean, how many times you've seen him throw balls across his body, backwards, forwards? I mean, sometimes he looks like he's not even looking at the guy he throws it at. And he has stayed alive. But he's got, and one other thing I think is important for any quarterback is his competitive level is very high. I mean, Lamar's got that same thing, got a very high competitive level. I don't believe there's ever been a good quarterback in the NFL, or especially a great one, that didn't have a very high competitive level. I think they go hand in hand. And that might be for every position in on the football field, but especially a quarterback. I think he's in a great system. I think Andy Reid does the things that play into that quarterback strength. Over the years, the West Coast offense, which is what Andy Reid runs, has always needed a mobile quarterback. You can look at every single one of them. Then there's probably been two dozen that have been good, if not great, from Montana all the way down to a number of gaps to Mahomes. But they've got to be mobile in the West Coast offense because it's just the way it is as far as from a protection standpoint. You've always found that. He's just like I said, he's a competitive, talented player that just plays with a lot of excitement throughout the game. And he's got some, I didn't even mention it, but look, when you got weapons that he's got in Kelce, Tyreek Hill, you know, a good, decent running game, they're a hard bunch to stop.
Weird for you to be sitting around. When's the last time you were sitting around in September? Do you ever take a year off during your
2016? I did the Sirius radio.
That's right.
NFL Network. Yeah. 2016. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
didn't you consult it or something like that? I think as I remember it, but so are you done? Are you going back or were you non-committal?
I'm in transition. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just taking it a day at a time. You know, so, but doing this is a lot of fun. I enjoy the media. I enjoy the TV and the radio and things like that. But if coaching comes about, I can't say I wouldn't jump in another opportunity, but we'll wait and see. You know, sometimes that's not always up to you or me.
Well, I want you to enjoy your time here, your downtime. You still look young and spry and full of energy to be back in somebody's coach's booth next year, I guess, if that's what you choose to do. In the meantime, I'll use you up and use all that knowledge and soak in all that Mahomes, Lamar Jackson sponge. It's always great to visit with you. When you get here, if you're going to call some games this year here on the road, I got a crab cake waiting for you. It's been too long, all right?
Sounds good, Mitch.
No Taurus crab cakes for Coach Mike Nolan on this year program. Big appreciation our friends at Fadley's, who just shipped some crab cakes to head coach Brian Billick last week. He was telling us about that story up in Minnesota earlier. You can find Coach Billick and all of our work out in the repository in the audio vault at Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor, Nasty at WNST.net. Finds me Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram. Short rest and crab cake eating at Costas on Friday and Wise Markets on Sunday. We are Baltimorepositive.com.